Good morning, Colorado. Here we go. Y'all ready for this? The Bell and Pollock Legal Show. Gary Bell, Brad Pollock, we're here for you. We are injury attorneys in our day lives, but right here, we're here to answer your questions on any legal subject. It doesn't matter what the subject is. 303-713-8255. That's 303-713-8255. We'll be glad to answer your questions, solve your legal problems. We do it every week. And if we can't solve it right here on the air, then we get in touch with you during the week. And if we have to, then we refer you to a particular specialty expertise. But mostly we try to solve your problems, and mostly we can, and we do, and we have for years. You can call us 303-713-8255. And you know, our website, championsofthepeople.com, we have all of our information there, right? We have all of our books there. We've published 6 books. They're free. All of the books are free. All of the information is free. All of our radio shows are there. The podcasts are there. And we give this information to you because you need information on all kinds of areas, all kinds of injuries. You know, our first book was entitled Don't Get Hurt Twice in the Same Accident, Once in the Accident, and Again on the Insurance Claim. Now we have a second edition of that book, revised, updated. And if you want a hard copy of any of our books, just call our law firm or email us, and we'll be glad to send you a hard copy. But you can call us right here, right now, on any question, 303-713-8255. One of our most popular books people want to get is the Colorado Definitive Guideline on Car Insurance. We call it Point Your Legal Compass to True North before you have a tragedy, before there's an accident. We don't wish an accident on anyone, but if you have one, you should take the proper steps right now, today. And that book has all kinds of picture examples, narrative examples. It has picture examples of deck pages, picture examples of insurance policies with arrows pointing to the most important language. We try to make it very easy and simple for you. Right now, joining us live here on KHOW is Holly from Colorado Springs. Good morning, Holly. Holly, you got a lot of feedback. Can you turn your radio down? You got feedback, please, ma'am.
Okay.
All right.
Alrighty. Sorry.
All right, no problem. What can we do for you?
I have somebody who is staying on my property, and she is not welcome. She's not. She has moved on her RV onto some land and has attached her electricity to my well house. And she tells me I have to put up with her being there and that I cannot evict her.
Who says that? She says that?
She says that, and the cops say it's a civil matter. Deal with it. So I don't really know what to do, and I'm an older woman and don't have a lot of money. I'm very, very poor, actually.
Okay, so let me ask you a couple of questions, and I think we can help you. What kind of property do you have? You have acres or how residential house? What do you have?
It's just under 9 acres, and I live – my home is on the property, and she had originally said she just she was a friend of my mother's who has passed away, and who said, oh, she just needed to stay for a week or two because she was staying in a Walmart parking lot, and the police were hassling her, supposedly.
All right, but when she stays there, does she stay in the house? Does she have a tent? What does she do, ma'am?
She's got an RV.
RV, so she's
got an RV, and she's plugged it into the electrical well house.
Has she ever been charged rent, or did anybody ever make her pay any kind of money for living there?
My mother tried. It was originally my mother's place before she died, and she tried to make her pay rent, but she never did. She doesn't do anything except use the electricity, the water, and the trash.
Okay, and she is on your private land.
Yes.
How long has she been living there?
Going on 2 years now.
2 years is all combined with your mother and everybody else. 2 years.
That's all. Yeah.
She's nowhere near close. You can evict her. Just evict her. It's an eviction proceedings. It probably take you about 4 to 5 weeks to get her out of there. She's got no squatter's rights or what rights can she possibly say she has to live on somebody else's property?
Holly, are you there? Holly. We must have lost her. So, yeah, we're talking about squatter's rights. She said somebody lives in an RV on her land. She had got the land from her mother, and what rights are they? So when the police do say, well, it's a civil matter, we can't help you, we're not going to do anything, have a nice day, what you have to do is file an eviction proceeding. And, you know, Brad, it's just basically an eviction, but you ask the right question. Was she ever paying rent? Because if she pays rent, it tries to turn it into a landlord-tenant situation, which changes the flavor a little bit.
Right, it would, and obviously people can acquire what I guess would be called squatter's rights. It's really adverse possession. It takes occupancy of property for a lot longer than 2 years, and living against somebody's will with claim of right to ownership of the property. It's got to be open and obvious. In this case, she might be living there, but she's not making an open, obvious claim that she owns any of the property. This is an eviction notice. That's what's got to be done.
So, Holly, you're with us now?
Yes, I'm sorry.
Okay, you got to turn your radio down. So, what you have is an eviction process. The police won't do it. They say that many times in a squatter's case. And so it's a civil matter, so it would mean you have to evict her. She never paid you any rent. She never gave you anything of value. So it's a plain and simple eviction process. Sometimes when you start the eviction process, they just voluntarily leave. Okay?
She won't. She's actually very militant. She's actually she's hit me a few times, so.
Well, we've
my animals.
We've got to get you hooked up with some lawyers and get you taken care of, because this is a situation where she needs to be evicted. And once you get an eviction notice, and then you get a order from a judge that she's got to leave your property, then the police will come out and enforce it. So all they're saying right now is, I don't know what she told the police, and we'd have to hear her side of it. But right now, from what you're telling me, she's got no right to be on your property. It's a simple thing of getting an eviction of this person. It's going to take 4 to 5 weeks. You got to give them notice, tell them to leave. If she doesn't leave, you're going to get a court order requiring that she leave and that she be removed from the premises. If she doesn't leave then you get the sheriff to come out and evict her and move her.
You know, under the statutes, you have to get a writ of restitution. But we can walk you through this, because you file the eviction pleading, you give them notice, you serve them. Sometimes they leave, but if she's not going to leave, then you have a court hearing date. You go down. If they don't show up, you get a default judgment. If they do show up, you get an expedited trial hearing date. And then once you get the judgment from the court, then if she won't leave, then you can call the police. And it can be enforced.
So.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So let's get your number. We'll work you through it. Give Kevin your name and number. We'll call you this week, and we'll work you through it and get you squared away.
Okay, Holly. I'm going to put you on hold. Give Kevin your information. Thank you for the call. We'll help you.
Okay, and God bless you guys.
Okay.
I appreciate your expertise.
Thank you. You're welcome. All right, we're going to take care of Holly. You can call us anytime, 303-713-8255. You're listening to the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. This is a law talk show. We're going to solve your problems, answer your questions. Our website, championsofthepeople.com. On our website, we have two buttons right there on the homepage. One button is our show and what you need to know before you talk to the insurance adjuster on the very first phone call. And if you don't have time to listen to that show on that button, you can hit the other button and you get a quick, downloadable, printable PDF format checklist on what you need to know before you talk to the adjuster. Bell and Pollock. We'll be right back. Good morning. Welcome back. Fasten your seatbelt. Here we go. The Bell and Pollock Legal Show. Our telephone number right here in the studio, 303-713-8255, 713-8255. We're here for you. We're going to answer and solve your questions on any legal subject. It could be landlord-tenant, real estate, nuisances, damages, injuries, insurance questions, inheritances, wills. It doesn't matter. We will cover it right here, 303-713-8255. 8255. We appreciate all your calls. Right now, we're going to talk to Henry from Aurora. Good morning, Henry. What can we do for you?
Good morning, and thank you for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
Hey, I wanted some trees cut down in my yard, and I've got several estimates. Well, when I went back to the east for a trip, and one of the companies came into the property and cut down the trees. My neighbor tried to stop them, but they said they had a contract, and I did not notify anybody to come in and do the work as yet.
They just came in and cut down your trees?
What is my standing?
Well, who cut down the tree?
Ruston Tree Service.
I mean, but were they hired? Who were they hired by? The city of Aurora?
No, that's an individual company.
Are they trying to charge you now for doing that?
Well, yeah.
They send you a bill?
Yeah, they left the bill at the house.
What? And you never gave them permission. You had them come out and look and give you a quote on what it would cost.
Yes, they came out and they gave me a quote on what the estimate would be. And I said, okay, I'm getting more estimates. And when I went back east, they came in, and my neighbor tried to stop them, but they said they had approval. And I never approved anything.
Did you, when they came out and gave you the quote, did you at any time sign any papers of any kind?
No, I did not sign anything.
So there's been no fine print that might have been missed, nothing that indicates that they had the right in any kind of paperwork?
Not to my knowledge.
Okay, and then they come out while you're gone and just go ahead and cut the trees?
Yes, sir.
And you said your neighbor tried to stop him. Did your neighbor go over and say, I don't think you have permission, or what did the neighbor do?
Well, he came over. He says that I was still getting other estimates. And the guy says, well, hey, we got a contract. And they went ahead and start cutting them down now.
Okay, Henry, let me ask you a couple of questions, and then we'll get to some answers for you. Did you want the trees cut down?
Yes.
Okay, how many trees were there?
Two.
All right, if you didn't sign any paperwork, right?
Right.
Because this is where people, and I know some water development, I mean water mitigation services that do this. They come out, and they make you sign the estimate. Okay, here's an estimate. This is just an estimate, and that's how they do it. So they say, here's the estimate, but on the fine print, it says they can go ahead and start work, or you're going to even pay them for the time they spend on the estimate, et cetera. But you didn't sign any paperwork, right?
Did not sign anything.
Okay, and then you were still going to get, your intent was to get other bids, correct?
Yes, and I got bids that were less than what their bid was.
I don't think you have to pay this bill.
No, I don't think you have to pay.
That's ridiculous.
How much is the difference that we're talking about between the other estimates you got?
About $650.
Yeah, that's you. They didn't have authority. They didn't have permission. You were getting other estimates, and your neighbor even told them, no.
I was getting estimates. Yes.
How long ago did this happen?
Just within the last 2 weeks.
Okay. Have you contacted Ruston and told them that you are not going to pay this bill and that you didn't give them permission to cut down the tree?
I called them and I told them that I was out of town and that and the reception said, well, I'll get some guy to call and talk to you. And he hasn't called back yet.
That's amazing. We helped somebody in Steamboat Springs just like this. They said they wanted to get some landscaping bids for the front yard. They wake up. There's a dump truck outside. There's gravel being dumped on the, and then there's landscaping, and there's a front end loader, and here we go.
Okay, you need a letter to them, and we'll be happy to help you draft that letter. You need a statement to them in writing telling them that you contest the bill. You're not going to pay the bill. That they did it without authority. They came onto your property without authority. You'd never told them they could do this. You need a letter to them. You don't want to just let it stop. You don't want to just or let it go by. You don't want to just let it go by phone because you're not going to be able to prove it. They'll eventually move it into something that could damage your credit. They'll eventually move it into maybe a collection agency. We need to get you on the right step right away, or on the right path right away. So,
all right, I would appreciate that.
And Brad's exactly right. You shouldn't just let it lie and do nothing. You must take affirmative action.
So you just hold on. We'll get your number. We're going to have somebody call you this week. we're going to sit down. I'm hoping this week, Thanksgiving, we should be able to get it still done this week. If not, it'll be the week after. But in the meantime, you don't talk to them except to tell them they had no authority. And you tell them that you've got a lawyer dealing with it, and they're going to get a letter from the lawyer. And we're going to stop this right away, okay?
All right. Appreciate that.
You bet, man.
All right, Henry, I'm going to put you on hold, give Kevin your information, and thank you for the call.
Thank you for listening.
Yes, sir. Okay. You can give us a call, 303-713-8255, 713-8255. The law about cutting trees and neighborhood disputes, it usually results in a neighborhood dispute. Henry had a nice neighbor who was trying to help him. That usually is not the typical case. The typical case is neighbor X over here doesn't want neighbor Y or Z to mess with the trees. The trees, the roots, and the limbs are overhanging. What is the law? And that's where the disputes usually arise. Can you even cut down the tree? If you go into somebody else's property and cut down the tree without permission, obviously that's trespassing. So it's a fascinating area of the law. Join us live right now on KHOW is Robert from Aurora. Good morning, Robert.
Good morning, gentlemen.
What can we do for you?
I have a question. I am refinancing a house that has a small balance of maybe $15,000 on it, and the house is worth about $300,000. And I want to get some cash out to buy a vehicle. My question is it if I refi through the bank and the bank pays the vehicle off, who's the title released to?
Okay. Yeah, are you going to be giving, when you say the bank, refi through the bank, you're talking about the bank where you're going to get your house loan?
Yes.
Okay. Are you planning on keeping a lien on the car at all?
No, I want to take the lien off from my bank.
You get the entire title.
Exactly.
The bank gets the lien against your house. It gets a deed of trust, okay? And what's going to happen is when you get the money, now if the bank's paying it direct.
Yes, they are.
And that's fine. Some banks want to pay it direct because for the purpose of the loan. Other times you get the money and you pay it direct. But if the bank's paying it direct, what they need to do is there needs to be a payment made to the lien holder, the entity that has the money yes. owing for the car, with the statement that the title is to be released to you.
Got it.
And they're to release their lien. Now, you know, titles quite often in Colorado, that motor vehicle title is going to show that the previous entity has a lien. So that has to be removed. So, you know, if the bank's taking care of this for you, you want to make sure your loan officer at the bank is making sure that they get the lien removed, not just the title issued to you, because the title may still show or reflect a lien on it. You've got to make sure they get the lien removed from the title.
Wow. You know, I understand what you're saying. It seems kind of strange, but, you know, it's kind of like if I knew someone had a bank loan and I went in as just an individual and paid it off, you know, and they released the title in my name, I've actually stole the car, haven't I?
Well, it's coming close. I don't think that's an authorized transaction. But I think the one important thing for you and your facts is, Brad's right on the advice, but I think the one important thing for you in your fact situation is once the car's paid off, you need to get the documentation from the bank where they sent the check to the person, okay?
Okay.
So, I mean, if they're going to cut a separate check, you want a copy of it, right?
Yes.
Correct.
Yes.
And then if there's any question, and then as Brad said, there might have been a lien on there from before, not the bank's lien, but some other lending company, and that needs to be removed. But that just, if it's paid off, it gets removed in the ordinary due course of
just
business.
To make sure that the title will be released to me in my name.
But you get a copy of the check the bank cuts to pay off the vehicle.
Is there something the check should say specifically?
Right, I would, and I would suspect that the mortgage company that's giving your loan is going to have on it that it's for a full and final release of the lien and for payment in full of all liens against the property.
Got it.
Or against the car. And the instructions then would be to send you the title without any kind of lien information. Now, the company that has the lien on your car right now, they are probably a very legitimate company. They're doing more than lending money. So that they're going to, when they get the payment in full and they get everything completed, they're going to properly notify DMV also of the fact that the lien needs to be removed.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's a division of motor vehicles, and it's not going to be very hard to do.
Right.
You just want to make sure that that lien or that title comes back to you in your name with no lien information on it. It should show no lien holders, and then you put that in your safe or someplace where it can't be damaged, or your safe deposit box, because now you're the owner of that car without any liens.
Yeah, see, my concern is if the bank wrote it, and then they say, well, this is more collateral for them on this refi.
That's exactly what I'm saying. No.
Got
you don't
it.
Let them do that. And you tell them you want that lien, that title to you with lien removed, because they are already getting plenty of collateral
exactly.
against your house.
More yeah, very small loan, very small exactly. loan against a property that has a higher value. So
yes,
okay. All right.
Thanks, gentlemen.
If you need help, you call our office, okay?
I shall.
Okay. Thank you for the call, Robert. Have a good one.
Thanks.
The Bell and Pollock Legal Show. Gary Bell, Brad Pollock. What are you going to do when you have an inspection issue on a house? What's the best time to sell your property? What's the best time to buy property? What's the best time? What's the best title company? Do you know what the title work means? All those questions you can ask Barry and Larry on the show that follows our show, the Consumer Real Estate Show. If you have problems on your real estate, they're the people to talk to. They follow our show. It's the Consumer Real Estate Show. They're experts in real estate, and that's where you go. Bell and Pollock, champions of the people. We'll be right back. Here we go, Legal Rock and Roll, Gary Bell, Brad Pollock. Our law firm is Bell and Pollock. Fasten your seatbelt. We're about to take off. But before we take off legally, we got to talk to Eric from Caitlin's. Here we go. Eric, how you doing?
I'm doing good, guys. How we doing today?
Good. What's cooking over there?
We got all kinds of things going on. We'll start with that breakfast special. We're going to run these specials for one more week, so come make sure you get in this week and check them out. That breakfast tacos is that breakfast special. That's going to be 3 6-inch flour tortillas. We're going to load that up with seasoned ground beef, scrambled eggs, of course, shredded cheese, lettuce, tomato, guacamole, sour cream on the side. Always comes with your choice of scratch-made red or green chili. I always recommend that green. It's a little bit hotter than the red, but they're both really good. That is the breakfast special for the rest of the week. And, guys, we are doing our blueberry pecan salad for the rest of the week as our lunch special. That's a bed of mixed green with those fresh blueberries on there, pecan halves, feta cheese, bell peppers, carrots, tomatoes, cucumbers, dressing of your choice. We're running a balsamic dressing with that. That is the preferred dressing, but you can do anything you want with that. That is the lunch special for the rest of the week, guys, and we are doing every week on Monday and Friday from 11 to 2, an all-you-can-eat taco burrito buffet. It's all you can eat. It's every Monday. It's every Friday from 11 to 2. It does actually include a non-alcoholic beverage and the price of that. Those are scratch-made products on there. There's tons of other scratch-made products on our menu as well, like our buttermilk pancakes, different variety of those to go around, the hash browns, of course, the red and the green, like I said before. So tons of things to check out at Caitlin's all week, guys.
Eric.
Yes.
You're closed on Thanksgiving.
We are closed on Thanksgiving, so make sure you get down here. But we are open on Black Friday, guys, so make sure you come on in before that rush or after you've been up all night getting those good deals for Christmas and everybody. Come on in and get a good breakfast and go to bed.
What are your hours on Black Friday?
We are open from 6 a.m. to 2 p.m. We're running a regular hour, so we will be here ready to rock and roll. Lights will be on at 6 a.m., ready to go.
And the rest of the weekend, too?
Absolutely. Every single day. But we are closed on Thursday, and we are closed on Christmas. So outside of that, you can guarantee we will be here for you guys.
Okay, I'm looking forward to your Christmas pancakes that you're going to start right after
Thanksgiving.
I've been
working on that. I've been working on my Santa Claus. All right. Think I got it down.
I'll be calling you Saturday right after Thanksgiving, next Saturday, to find out about those.
They will be waiting for you, absolutely,
you know,
along with all the other good stuff that we have.
You know, Eric, I'm curious. Yeah, when we call you, you've got a phone right there in the kitchen by the stove. You got one in the office. Where you talk to us from?
I actually go to the office because the kitchen's a little bit loud and there's a lot of feedback right there, but I do have a phone right there, so you can always reach me every time I'm available. Yeah, I can be anywhere you guys need me to be.
Where are you located?
Guys, we are 4379 East Mississippi Avenue. That's one block east of Colorado Boulevard. That's in the Glendale Shopping Center. Guys, come and check us out. I guarantee you'll love it, every by the way.
I'll see you in
all right, Eric, thanks.
Thanks, guys.
All right, the Bell and Pollock Legal Show, the only show of its kind. You can call us at 303-713-8255. Will help you solve your problems. We'll give you point you in the right direction. Sometimes we'll write letters for you. We'll help you with regard to eviction proceedings, small claims court. Sometimes you just need a safe haven to go to ask the right kind of questions. And right now we're going to talk to Dean from Westminster. Good morning, Dean.
Good morning. Happy Thanksgiving, and thanks for taking my call.
Thanks,
you're welcome.
Dean.
Thank you. Same to you, sir.
Thanks. So my situation, my daughter has had some problems. She's 40 years old, just with finances. Ended up having to have me co-sign on a car loan, which we were about 2 years into a six-year car loan at a very good rate of interest. My problem is that I am not 100% sure she is carrying car insurance. She says she is, but I don't know if I fully trust her in this matter. And my question is, my legal liability, should something happen with her that she'd be liable for? I don't drive the car. Basically, I'm just a co-owner on it. She actually pays me to make the payments at this time. And I'm wondering what my legal situation is should something happen with her.
Well, you're what I call a remote player in the transaction and probably have no worry or liability at all. However, let's visit that a minute. If you let somebody use a car that you know shouldn't be using a car, that worries me. It's called negligent entrustment. The classic case of negligent entrustment is, and it is a case, somebody hands their keys to another person drunk at a party. Here, can I drive your car? Yeah, you're really drunk. Here are my keys. Then that qualifies as negligent entrustment. So that kind of worries me. But you guys live separately, sir?
Yes.
Okay, so because there is the family doctrine, the family car use doctrine that wouldn't apply here. So we just got rid of that one.
Is it, the car is in your name, though?
Yes.
Okay, so the car's
actually the car would be under both of our names.
Okay, the car's titled in your name, and your and you have suspicions that it's not garage to your house; it's garage at your daughter's place, and you have suspicions she's driving without insurance.
That's basically correct.
All right. Here's what you're going to do now. Is your daughter living in the state of Colorado?
Yes.
All right. I don't know how much control you've got over anything else, but you call up your insurance person and you put at least a minimum required insurance on that car. And it's going to cost you some money. But, you know, Gary's right on the negligent supervision, 100% or negligent entrustment. I'm worried about negligent entrustment. If you believe you're giving your car or allowing your car that's titled in your name, over which you should have some control of use because it's in your name, to somebody who you believe is an uninsured driver and you don't have insurance and you're allowing the car to be out there, I can tell you that, and I'm sorry to say it this bluntly, but this firm and there's about a dozen other firms out there in the state of Colorado that would sue you in a heartbeat and try and get money from you. And if your daughter caused somebody to be injured and there was no place else to look for insurance.
Well, it's really to try to collect insurance money.
Right.
Right.
So you get a minimum requirements policy at least on that car. And if your daughter says she's doing it, you get your name on the mailing. And you get your name on the notice. You talk to the insurance agent. You talk to whoever it takes that if any insurance is being taken off that car, you've got notice. It's a $25,000 policy, and I'm telling you, you're in the future. You're going to say this is the best advice you ever got in the world.
Yeah, I mean, you have, Dean, what is known in the law as an insurable interest, and that usually comes in life insurance questions, but it can come in car insurance questions. So, and Brad's exactly right. I would find out ask your daughter what car insurance company she's using. I would call them up and ask them for the proof, and if they say, well, we can't talk to you, you can say I have a vested insurable interest. Yes, you are going to talk to me. And then you're going to send them an email. I want to know what proof there is. But independently of that, you need to, as Brad said, take out your own whatever limits you can afford. Brad said the minimum $25,000, but you do it because here's the deal, Dean. You're sort of a remote player, but you're kind of creeping up into this gray area of letting somebody drive a car when they shouldn't be driving it because there's a state law that you have to have insurance. So even though you're a remote player, you weren't driving the car. It's worrisome, okay? It's worrisome legally. That's what you do.
And then you tell the agent that you want to be on all notices. If she doesn't pay the premium, you want to know about it. If she doesn't do this, you want to know about all the stuff.
I like that advice as far as contacting her insurance. She should provide that to me. I think that I could get that information out of her anyway. And I appreciate that.
If she doesn't provide it to you, your name's on the title. If she doesn't provide it to you, you take the car away. I mean, you know.
Well, it, yeah. Yeah, but Dean, the other thing is when you talk to her insurance company, do not just leave this into the verbal realm of communication. Put it in an email. Tell him I'm on title with this car. I'm on the loan with this car, and I want to know about insurance because they're into a gray area. The more you say you're interested, you're worried right now, you want to know, you want to be told, then the insurance company, by not telling you, has some duties and obligations themselves. So they're into a gray area, whether or not they properly told you, one of the titled owners, as to the insurance coverages. But okay. And you put them in an email or a letter to them. I want to know. I'm an owner here. I got a loan. I'm signed on this loan. And I want to know what insurance is against this car.
And additionally, if she doesn't have insurance on the car, she's in violation of the loan probably. And that can cause the loan to be called in default.
Correct.
And when the loan gets called in default, guess who's going to have to pay?
I appreciate that fully. Now, one of the things you brought up earlier is her residing outside of the premises. She has at times lived here and only recently moved out. Out of curiosity, should she be living here, would that have changed anything that you have told me?
Well, it might, because there's the family purpose car doctrine. When somebody's driving a car on a family business, suppose she runs an errand for you, suppose she goes to do something for you and pick up something. And so that changes the flavor of the legal relationship. Bottom line there is you need your own insurance. And bottom line, then you have a stronger position with her insurance company to say, I want to know what insurance there is.
And if she's living there, in the family purpose doctrine could make you even more liable. The bottom line is that, Dean, you really need to talk to her and say, who's your insurance people? I want to know, and I want to see a copy of the policy. You need to make sure that agent then gives you notice on renewals, on failure to pay, on letting the insurance lapse, whatever it is. And if it's not there, then you need to at least get the minimum required policy according to the lender and as required by the state of Colorado.
Thank you guys so much for that.
If you need help,
happy holidays.
If you need help, you give our office a call, Dean.
Happy holidays to you, Dean. Thank you for the call, sir.
Thanks so much, guys.
Okay, the Bell and Pollock Legal Show, the only show of its kind, right? 303-713-8255, 713-8255. All of our books on our website are free. You can download an e-copy right now. You can call us and ask for a hard copy right now. All of our books. And we have a book written on legal game plan. And we trademark protected that concept, legal game plan. And we put our over 30 years of experience into that book and into a free initial consultation and a free legal game plan if you've been injured when you come to our firm. And we don't just spend 10 minutes with you. We go over the details. Bell and Pollock, champions of the people. We'll be right back. Charge up a fortune on my credit card. Welcome back. Here we go. Fasten your seatbelt. Gary Bell, Brad Pollock. We're about to take off. The legal acceleration right now. Legal rock and roll. 303-713-8255. Our website, championsofthepeople.com. Our radio show right here for Don. Good morning, Don. What can we do for you?
Morning, gentlemen. Hey, curious if there's any chance that a tenant can stick me with a water bill that's gone unpaid as yet. That's clearly, I just reviewed the lease. It says it's their responsibility to provide for and pay for utilities, and we list them all, gas, electric, and so on, including firewood or satellite TV and phone line, all that. But wondered about habitability. Could they assert that, well, you can't have the water disconnected, or the company itself, in this case Denver Water, can't have the water disconnected for non-payment because we have habitability clauses? I don't know anything about that habitability situation.
Okay, so it sounds like you got it covered in the lease, because that was the first question I was going to ask you. Is it covered? Yes, it is. Sounds like you did a nice job. It covers very specifically, you say. So that's the lease. Yes, and you should be concerned about just cutting off people's water and you doing it. But what if the water company?
Not me, no.
Yeah. What if the water company? I mean, you as the landlord can't cut their heat off, their water off. But you can. You just evict them, which you still can, right? But the water company. The question is, who's on the contract to begin with the water company? You, probably, And then the tenant comes along. So probably, underscore the word probably, both of you on the original contract to get the water signed up.
Let me explain if I could.
Yeah, okay.
That as the owner of the property, the water is provided for that property address, and we as the owners of the property are on the hook for the bill, as I understand it. If it goes unpaid, it could ultimately become a lien on the property if it stays unpaid. So the landlord, it's the landlord's problem, as I see it. The contract between the tenant and landlord says they're to provide and pay for the following utilities, which includes the water.
Right. Right. So when first of all, I think most water companies, you can have your name as the landlord included on the bill, or at least make sure you're getting a copy of the bill to make sure it's getting paid.
Yeah, we get copies of it.
And that's why you got a security deposit. The minute it's not getting paid, you have to move on the tenant for being in breach of the lease. You got to tell the tenant you're in breach of the lease because they can eat up. If they're not paying that, they may not be paying a lot of other bills too. And next thing you know, they're going to eat up your security deposit. So you got to move quickly. As far as the tenant's failure to pay the water bill, if you've got in your lease the tenant has a responsibility to pay the water bill, then if the tenant's failure to pay the water bill results in disconnecting of the water, I believe that you're probably protected against habitability issues. You have done nothing.
I'm protected, you say?
Yeah, and I think you are because I don't think you've done anything that any tenant can say you failed to do. You don't have a duty or responsibility to step in and pay the tenants' bills to maintain habitability. You have a duty to pay your share of the bills, and there's no proration here. So if the tenant in themselves intentionally makes the property not habitable because of their own actions and nothing that the landlord's done, I don't think you're going to have a responsibility for that issue.
Okay. As a landlord, we still have water available for them to, so the plumbing's in place. There's been no disruption of availability. Simply that they haven't paid for it, and the utility shuts it off. That doesn't make it my actions. It's strictly, as anybody can see, the tenant's actions for non-payment.
I'm hoping the language is very, very clear, right, in the lease, very clear.
That they've got to pay the water.
I'm confused as I read it now. It says provide. Tenant will provide and pay for following utilities. Well, how do they provide for it? They didn't put a pipe in the ground.
They're providing for it by making sure that they're paying the bill. I think they contracted with
the water company. Yeah, in that sense, they entered into an agreement with the water company. They provided for it, and now they're supposed to pay for it.
That's just a semantical legal roller coaster to me.
If
you provide and pay.
If you're using a normal lease, I'm going to tell you that no tenant is ever going to get off saying they don't have to pay or their property is not inhabitable by their own actions of making it uninhabitable.
Okay. So that's great. And I'm kind of going to be tickled a little bit when it gets shut off and then they learn the lesson. So I don't have a legal worry is what I'm concerned is why I called this morning that somehow it's going to come back to haunt me.
Well, let's just boil it down to its basics as Brad just said. So you as a landlord can't make the property uninhabitable. You have to have it fit for human inhabitants. That's the law. There's a statute passed in Colorado in 2008, et cetera. But you cannot just cut the power off and you can't cut the water off. But if it's their responsibility to do this, their arguments for warranty of habitability or that it's not habitable is based upon what they did or didn't do.
They're gone. You don't have to worry about a thing.
Great. And then as far as cleaning, we never charged the cleaning, but is ordinary cleaning, it says in our lease, the damage deposit can be applied towards the cleaning. So if the place isn't clean, it was when they rented it, that's a cost that you shouldn't incur as a landlord, and so you can deduct that.
You can deduct that on your security deposit. It's always an issue of normal wear and tear versus cleaning, but if it's clear in the lease, then you can do that. It's a factual issue of who left it in what condition, but yes, you can deduct it from your security deposit.
Excellent.
All right.
I appreciate it, guys.
Okay. You sound like a good landlord, Don.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate it.
Thank you for the call.
Mm-hmm.
The Bell and Pollock Legal Show, Gary Bell, Brad Pollock. We're here for you. Right now, we're going to talk to Ben in Commerce City about a tree issue. Good morning, Ben.
Good morning.
What's happening, man? Call. Yes, sir.
I have a couple of questions. I've got an RV that's almost 13 feet, 13 feet high.
Right.
And when I go out of my driveway and onto the street, my neighbors have trees that are hitting the top of the RV, and they're scratching it. They're gouging it. And I've asked them to cut down their tree, and they didn't do it. I called the city, and they got written up, and they haven't done anything. Can I legally go and cut down their tree along the street?
Okay, well, where is the tree located on your neighbor's property to start with?
Yes, yes.
Is
it's
it
on
over
the neighbor's property, and it hangs over onto the sidewalk where it's supposed to be 10 feet high, and on the street it's supposed to be 15 feet high, is what I was told.
And what were they cited for by the city? What were they cited for?
They were told to cut them up where they're within the legal limit, I guess, as far as 10 feet and 15 feet.
All right, you really can't just go to your neighbor's property and start cutting down their tree.
You've got to get on the city to do this. The city should be getting that thing cut for you.
Sorry, I wouldn't be going on the street. I'd be going on. I'm sorry. I'd be going on the street to do the cut.
Yeah, right, but the tree you said is located on your neighbor's property.
Yeah, yes. it overhangs on.
Yeah, it overhangs. You can take care of the overhang part, the limbs that overhang onto your property. You can take care of that. That's proper. But you can't just go into your neighbor's property and cut down the tree.
Right. You can cut down anything that overhangs onto your property. The city's got to take care of cutting down stuff that goes over city property. But we can help you with some of that. Let's
right.
get your
and
name.
And if you want to do it yourself, you've got to give them proper notice so we can help you. I'm going to put you on hold. We got to go, Ben, but we'll give you a call. Give Kevin your information, okay?
Okay.
All right. Thank you for our call, Ben. Frank, we're sorry we couldn't get to you. Terry, we're sorry we couldn't get to you. Joan, we're sorry we couldn't get to you.
And
Bell
Frank.
And Pollock Legal Show. Gary Bell, Brad Pollock. If you want to leave your name and number, we'll call you during the week. If you want to call us next week, feel free. We'll be right here. Bell and Pollock, our website, championsofthepeople.com. All of our books are there. 6 books. We got more in progress. If you want to know about Colorado car insurance, get our book. If you want to know about legal game plan, get our book. If you don't think insurance companies don't have their legal game plan and strategies against you, you're wrong. Championsofthepeople.com, because we are your champions of the people.